This morning, I'm going to hopefully challenge you a little bit to think about how you're going to enter the new year. I hope you had a wonderful time celebrating Jesus' birth. I hope you had great joy in gathering together with people. I know our family did, had all our grandkids and kids from Winnipeg joining the kids out here, so we were a whole group of us, but it's great just to be together and celebrating. Just curious here, anyone put away their decorations already? Anyone here? Oh, there are some. See, there we go. There we go. They're those type of people. I would do that too, but my wife won't let me yet. So, but one thing that I'm going to challenge you with, don't put away the celebration of Christmas, the coming of Christ. Let the reality of Christ coming enter the reality of your life all year long. The way that Jesus has come should change the way we approach every year, including 2020. So I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about how big is your God. My grandson Arlo he's mostly in Winnipeg, so we get to see him on video a lot, but it was great to see him in person. He's about 9 months old, and he's doing this thing, and I'm sure lots of parents have done this, and where you ask the little ones, how big is Arlo? And he whips his arms up, and he's so big, everybody yelling at him, so big, and he's just celebrating how big he is, and how huge he is, and how vast he is. And it's fun to just see these little ones imagining their bigness. It doesn't always go that way. That's a dangerous question. If your wife asks you, these pants make me look big, and then you go, so big, it might not work the same way. Little ones are encouraged to look forward to their growing. And their attitude, the way they think, will reflect in many ways the way they live. But let me ask that question again in a different context. How big is your God? Are you saying, so big? And is he so big in your life? I know you can say it intellectually in the sense of a confession, but in practice, how big is Christ in your life? I deeply believe that the way we live will be in direct proportion to the size of our God. And the problem, I think, for many of us is that our God is too small. We're not convinced of his full competence in everything in our lives. I'm going to date myself a bit with this, but some of you I'll take you along with me. How many of you remember the movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Oh, there they go. There's more. Okay, good. I think in too many of our lives, the truth is we would say, honey, I've shrunk our God. We've made God way too small. And when you do that, you wake up in the morning with a new day and you have a shrunken God in your life, there's going to be a whole lot more fear and anxiety accompanying you because your God is too small. You have shrunk him. You live with a little God in your life. And when we set that against God, the way God is described in Scripture, we do not see a little God. We don't see the tribal God that many in the Old Testament believed in and tended to think of. So I want to talk a little bit about how big is your God, and I want to say he is vastly bigger than any of us probably imagine. And we're going to take a look at Colossians 1. I love Paul's description here, and it ties God, Jesus, all Trinity, all one God here. So look at Colossians 1. I love Paul's description here. The Son, whose birth we just celebrated. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And I jump into the version of the message, because I kind of like how this challenged me personally. You yourselves are a case study of what he does. At one time, you had all your backs turned on God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got. But now, because of all the other things that he said, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly tuned in to the message, careful not to be distracted and diverted, because that happens so easily with us. There is no other message, just that one, the only one to build your life on. Most scholars think that some of this passage was a song, a hymn of praise and wonder and awe in the early church. Paul's writing to the Colossians, and you know, many of them believe that Jesus was just one God among many. In those times, there was a belief that God was pure spirit and only spirit, and you know, all that was physical was basically evil. It wasn't. Therefore, Jesus as God in the flesh was unthinkable to many of them. Therefore, he wasn't God. And this is what Paul's description here in reaction to that. You don't get to shrink him down. That's what Paul's really saying here. Don't make your thoughts and your so-called truth to subject God to your standard of thinking. We all tend to do that sometime. How big is your God? Well, for starters, he's bigger than you can conceive. I've often thought, you know, if God is as big as my conception of him, he's not that big because I'm not that bright, right? God is bigger than I can conceive. And this is the God who's with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He's there when you awaken, when you speak, when you work, when you pray, when you sleep, whatever you do. If you live with a small God, you live often a frightened life or, weirdly, an arrogant life because you figure you got to do it all. But if you live with a big God, you live with a boldness and a confidence in that God, not in your strength per se. And you can go forward knowing you're never alone. That's why I love Matthew 28:20 when Jesus was going to heaven and he said, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Right? He's with us. Christ is sufficient. He's supreme no matter what. So let's unpack this description that Paul has of God, of Jesus and God. All right, here we go. In Colossians, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Paul's saying when you see Jesus, and we celebrate him at his birth at Christmas, you see God. The word image here is the word icon, E-I-K-O-N. We get our word icon from it. This is the idea of a portrait, a picture of someone. Jesus is the exact picture of God. He is God. Paul writes, all the God's fullness dwelt in him. Jesus is the whole deal, the complete deity, God in physical form, fully God, fully human, a God who knows our state and who knows our lives and how they work. And this means I can go to him knowing this deity, human God, understands my state. I love how Hebrews says it in Hebrews 4. We do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weakness. We have one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. So we can rest assured this supreme God understands our humanity. The universe is finite. God isn't. God is beyond the universe. I sometimes, when I pray, I say, you know, Lord of the universe, and then I remind myself he's even bigger than that universe, right? He's grander, bigger than anything I can conceive of. Isaiah says it this way. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marks off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on a scale, or the hills in a balance? And then this line, to whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Basically saying, don't compare me to anything, because you can't. All right, that's sovereignty. That's the God who came at Christmas. That's the God who promised to be with you always. That's the God who says, you don't need to worry. Why don't you need to worry? Because God is so big. He's so big. All right, back to Colossians. Jesus is the image of God. In him we see God. He's the agent of creation. There's no need to worry. He can handle anything. And then this, Jesus is over all. He's over all things. I think we get caught up in our humanity with human structures and human powers. And Paul is reminding us Jesus is over all that. And the Colossians were speculating about spiritual beings. They were really into angels and the worship of angels. Kind of obsessed with the spirit world. And Paul's saying in these verses, every human power, every government power, every corporation, every spiritual, supernatural force, every angelic being, everything is in the hands of God. Jesus is big enough to overpower any and all forces. Jesus is Lord over all. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to act like I need to control things. I like how it says in verse 17, in him all things are held together. He holds it all together. Paul uses a verb tense indicating ongoing holding together. It's not like a one-shot deal. He's always holding it together. Your life included. It hasn't spun out of control, and it won't. He didn't just make the universe sit back and watch and see what happens here. Jesus sustains all things. You ever said to yourself, you know, I don't think I can hold it all together. I know I felt that way. I sometimes have felt like my life was actually kind of spinning out of control. You know, I can't hold it all together. And the truth is, no, I can't. That's really the point here. That's Jesus' job, not mine, to hold it all together. That's what the scripture says. I need to remind myself of that. In Hebrews, we read, the Son of God, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Notice that all things. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat on the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He reigns from on high. He holds it all together. Without him, it would unravel. And Jesus, Paul writes, reconciles all things. He reconciled things, all things to himself through Jesus. God, through the cross, reconciles the universe. He reconciles the creation that groans. He reconciles our brokenness through Jesus' death on the cross. The cross is cosmically significant. The universe is set right and it is being set right through that work on the cross. Jesus, it says, is the firstborn of the dead. Hear that together. Firstborn, dead. Those don't seem to belong together when you think about it. Death is about destruction. When you're dead, you're dead. My dad passed away this year, right? You know, he was dead. Yeah, Jesus says a crazy thing here. Paul writes about him. Said he, Jesus is firstborn among the dead. Birth from death. Jesus redeems, restores, reconciles all things. Jesus is the prototype of life even after death. And we follow him now and beyond death. Because he's firstborn among the dead. You close your eyes, you know, who knows what this year will bring. We know there will be death this year too. When we close our eyes in death, we'll open to life in Christ. What would that be like? I don't know. I'm just trusting that it's going to be amazing. I trust that my dad opened his eyes up and saw Christ. And I'm so grateful to have that comfort. How big is your God? He's bigger than death. The question is this, though. We might even intellectually, collectively say these things. But do they work in our hearts and our thoughts and our minds on a day-to-day basis? You know, not just when we're doing church talk. How big is your God going to be in 2020 on a day-to-day basis? Will you be a big God person? And if you are, well, yeah, then the first step is going to be learning to live with more and more trust in that big God who's right next to you all the time. That's easy to say in some ways. It's a little bit harder to live out day by day, minute by minute, second by second. You know, I think of Moses comes to mind, right? And God says, okay, Moses, I want you to go talk to the most powerful man in the whole world, Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him off. And Moses said, I can't do that. Right? I don't know how to talk. I'm just not gifted. But he does go. He does step eventually. You know, a little push from God, but he does. He makes the move. I love the story that, you know, the people of Israel, when they're going to enter the promised land, they have to go through the river again, or the water again. And this time, it doesn't just open up. This time, when they're going to go into the promised land, God says, it will open up. You take some steps now. And I love they take some steps, and they're up to their ankles, and up to their knees, getting deeper. I don't know how deep God let them go before he backed up the waters and they walked on dry ground. But I love that they had to take some steps here. Yeah, it's going to open. Right? But, you know, it did. It did dry open. The water was blocked off. They did walk into the promised land on dry ground because God came through. But you got to take some steps. You got to stop living with a shrunken God. I'm going to talk about a few areas where having a big God is going to make a big difference in your actual life, not just in your theology. First area is this. Live with a big God in your relational life. I know everyone here, at least to some degree, has some areas of conflict in their lives. There's some anger, some bitterness, maybe some envy, maybe some hurts. The bitterness often shrinks our own personal selves in some ways, and I think it also can shrink our view of God. Your refusal to maybe forgive that person is making you smaller. Some of you might be saying, well, I can't forgive them. It's not in me. And the answer, no, of course it's not in you. You've got to realize that you have this big, big God right next to you, this God who forgave you in all your messiness, and he will empower you to forgive. You've just got to take some steps. That's your call. That's your job. One step forward somehow in the process of forgiving. Maybe it's going to be a phone call, an email. Maybe it's just a little note. Maybe it's going to be a little counseling. Maybe it's going to be, and you can name whatever it is. But you have this big God in your relationships. And that should change you as you approach your relationships. You know, some of you are saying, well, you know what? I don't have it in me to love that person for that. No, I guess you don't. But that's not what you're called to do in your own strength. You have this awesomely big God right beside you who loves you. He loves you. He didn't earn that. He loves you. So much so, he sent Jesus at Christmas, and you know the rest of the story. No, so this, take a small step of love, but I don't feel it. Doesn't matter to me. Take a small step of love. One small step. Talk to that person. Pray for that person. Serve that person. Live like you've got a big God right next to you. I should do. Speak the truth. When you mess up, confess it. When you hear God's call, obey it. Even if you don't like it. God's power will accompany you in those steps. And it'll be his strength, not yours. Because you've got a great big God in your relationships. Another area, live with a big God in your serving. I think this is really important. There's places for you to serve. You say, well, why is that so important? I think it's only in serving that something becomes meaningfully ours. And I hear people sometimes say, I don't feel connected. What are you doing? Nothing. So you're kind of just taking. Yeah. You're not serving. No. I think it's the serving that creates something of a bond. Serving with your gifts and your talents. There's nothing worse than an unused gift. I suspect everybody opened all the gifts they got this year. Some of you didn't say, you know what, I'm just not going to open that one. I'm going to let it sit there all year long. And every day I'm going to look at that unopened gift. That never happens. Right? You know, you open it. Why? Because the gift. You heard about the need for help in our kids' ministry. We've been blessed with lots of children and babies and kids and growing church. Yeah, that requires more energy, more people to step up. We're looking for help in Cornerstone, in nursery. I've been thinking about, you know, we were blessed with starting a seniors ministry. We need a team of people to help out with that. We're kind of pulling it together once a month. But during the daytime, once a month on a Thursday, we need some help with, you know, meal preparation, all this kind of stuff. So there's lots of places. That was one that came to my mind. But there's lots of places for you to serve, yeah, to bless us, but for your sake. And to trust that you have this big God who gifted you. Joining a small group. I don't feel connected. Are you in a small group? No. Oh, okay. God has given you gifts and resources and talents and time. And this great big God asked you to take steps of service. Steps of service in your faith community. And then there's steps of service in our community at large, in our families, in our friendships, in our neighborhoods and workplaces. Somehow, there's also this, and Andre kind of talked about that, there's this serving with our financial giving. Some of you need to see God's bigness in order for you to feel called to give sacrificially. Giving like God wants us to give is a scary concept. Remember somebody talking about saying, you claim things matter in your life. And I heard one pastor say, okay, let me see your checkbook. That's the end of the day we used to do checks. And he said, let me see where your giving's going, and then I'll tell you what you care about. It's true, isn't it? You put your money where in the place of the things that you care about. And in these areas, there's something about how you see God, that you see God's greatness and that God's given everything to you, then you look at it differently. We serve God. We serve this body. We serve the world around us like we've got a great big God, because we do. And then in the third area, I think it's profoundly important for the mission of this church. We live with the big God as we share our faith. Paul describes himself as a servant of the gospel. I like that phrase. We're all servants of the gospel. If God is so big, if God is so awesome, so freeing, so reconciling, if knowing God helps us live with less anxiety and less worry and more love and more service, what's not to share? I want people in my life to know that they have a great, big, loving God walking beside them every day too. People are in such need of hope. People are in such need of wisdom. They are in such need of God. There's good and bad ways of doing that. I'm not suggesting you become annoying or get all cocky and arrogant. I've seen that done. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it seems so logical, so normal to share good news. And there isn't any better news than the fact that people are loved by this great big God who loves them, who forgives them, who wants to build them up. God's Spirit is so busy nudging you and guiding you toward love and service. Live with a great big God in your relational life. Live with a great big God in your acts of service and your giving. Live with a great big God as you share His truth and love in ways that are fit with who you are. People need to see Jesus, the Creator, their Sustainer, the fullness of God, the Redeemer, the one who endured a cross, the one who calmed storms, the one who healed the sick, the one who cast out demons, the one so big death couldn't hold Him. So big He knows the number of hairs on your head. So big He knows every tear you've ever shed. So big He knows every breath you'll ever inhale and every hope you've ever cherished. So big He's surrounding the chair you're sitting in right now, and He will be with you, and His power will go with you every second of 2020 and beyond. So big that one day you'll be brought through death into His presence without any sin, without accusation, and you'll live forever with Him. How big is your God? Let's embrace this great big God. Let's pray.